Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what it is you normally do to praise the Lord, but whether you're playing a guitar or playing a trombone or have heavenly music, I ask them to play that. Glory to Jesus. You see, we can turn it down just a little bit. I can preach without music. I can pray without music. But I like music. So I thought we would have some music while we minister this morning. We don't want it to be distracting for you, but we do want you just to sense and know the presence of Almighty God. David says, soul, there you go, that's good. Soul, why are you cast down within me? Put your hope in God. Sometimes you just have to talk to yourself. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And sometimes you just need to come into his presence and just say his name. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This past week, we had the opportunity to bring a few words on behalf of the District Education Council. And we just shared with the young people that sometimes we're all on a journey, and sometimes our lives are like my iPad. That sometimes my iPad goes dark and I have to punch in a code in order to see what's there. And sometimes in the journey in life that we experience, sometimes we just got to come back to those codes that we know. Perhaps Bible reading, prayer. Sometimes we just got to go back to the basics. Just down just a little shade. Ah, there we go. Ooh, praise God. I don't know if you've noticed the last number of times that we've come to speak with you, we've been on a journey. You perhaps haven't noticed. You know, we talked about when we were here, what, a year and a half ago, about being on Jesus' team and what that means. And then when we came to you a few Sundays ago, we spoke to you on what does the church look like? And of course, last week it was on the Father's heart. The Father himself loves you. I want you to know that just how real that thought is. It's not just a thought, it's actually scripture out of John, that the Father himself loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his only son, to die on the cross for you and I. And Jesus said this to his disciples. One day they got talking, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. One day they got talking, and Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually comes to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, Some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answers, and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means little pebble or little rock. And upon this rock, or the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build. And Jesus has ownership of the church. He says, I will build. He says, I will build my church. Why does he desire that? Because the Father himself loves you. And the Father himself desires to express himself through you. That love, the apostle says it like this, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. The Father himself loves you and wants to express himself through you. So in order for that to happen, the Lord is on a building program. He's in a building program, and you and I are part of it. That's a good place to say praise the Lord. Woo! Turn to your neighbor and say, you're in a building program. Praise the Lord. That's so awesome. You know, I can't build the church, but I can do my part. I'll never forget, I was pastoring in another facility some years ago. We had some folks that decided that they were no longer wanted to be a part of our assembly. And I was grieved, actually. But what's interesting is, anybody know Brother Trenum? You know Brother Trenum? He came to our assembly to preach in our church. And this is what he said to me at dinner time after he preached. He says, Brother Ron, I can still see him. Brother Ron, you've got three couples in your church that shouldn't be there, and I'm going to pray them out. I went, wow, if you know Brother Trenum, that's, whew. I got three couples that are coming to your church that they don't belong there, and I'm going to pray them out. Do you know what? All three couples left. And I have to tell you, I was still grieved, because I thought it was my job to build the church. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I'm grieving because these people have left the church. He said, it's my job to build. I said, I will build. And it's not your church, it's my church, he says. I went, oh man. Okay. You have no idea of the pressure that come off me at that moment. So I have people that ask, well, what are you doing to build the church? Well, I'm working with someone else, working with this brother and that brother. We're building part of the building program of God to build the kingdom. We're builders of the kingdom of God. I'm fascinated. By the way, Brother Mike, I'm so glad that you turned off your phone. You know, some congregations, they have these little signs on their screen, and it goes, please turn off your phone. God won't be texting you this morning. I know in some congregations they use their cell phones, the young people use their cell phones, and they're texting their youth pastor, asking them questions of what's going on in the service, or what's happening here and what's happening there, and it's all about the service, but that's how they're using their phone. It's just a new thing people are using, kids are using today, because they want to be connected. Our Father wants to be connected with us. And I'll tell you something, He doesn't have to use a cell phone to do it. He's in a building program. He's in a wonderful building program. Because our Father Himself loves you. Glory to God. And we wonder, well, how is He going to do this? He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid, King James uses the word bind, on earth will be forbidden or bound in heaven. Whatever you permit or loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. And I would submit to you this, that binding and loosing has more to do with forgiveness and unforgiveness. Sometimes we use it as a prayer. I bind this and bind that, and we're binding up the works of Satan. And I get that. I totally get that. But in context, it really has more to do with when you forgive, you are loosing. The Bible says, whose sin you retain, it is retained. Whose sin you loose, it is loose. Has a relationship deal going on. That it's absolutely important in the building program of God to be forgiving. Do you know that in the U.S. alone, there's more than 6,000 denominations? That's denominations, not churches. Is it any surprise in a consumer-driven society that a follower of Jesus would have 6,000 choices of how to express his or her faith? We should be the best forgivers on God's green earth. The relationship's got to be made right. If we don't forgive, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. I can't stress that enough. Because this is a relationship deal. And the Father Himself, who is love, wants to express His love through you. To you, but through you. Glory to God. Now, I mentioned that the church is not a little group that we're all huddled together here and you know, He did say that the gates of hell will not prevail. But sometimes we think, I'm a little groupie here and we're, you know, the gates of hell are coming against us. We got a lot of attacks on the enemy, and the enemy's just doing this and doing that. I don't have time to dwell on the attacks of the enemy. I do recognize that they're there and that they exist and that they happen. In fact, I recognize the war we're in. I had a dream last night. I'm a dreamer. It just happens I have a dream. I'm not going to take the time to tell you the dream, but I will tell you this, that we are in a war. We have a devil that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but Jesus came to bring life and more abundance. Ephesians says that Christ, He is far above any ruler or authority or power. Ephesians chapter 1. Above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the one to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. Every now and again, we come across people that'll say, I don't need to go to church. Well, then what you're actually saying is that you really don't want to function with the rest of the body. You cannot separate the body from the head. We must have the head. Glory to God. You cannot separate, whenever you talk about Jesus, you cannot separate Jesus from the body. We flow and we work together. Why is that? Because the Father himself loves you. And he wants to express, just as he expressed himself in sending his son Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father desires to express himself through you. How do we do that? We go to Christ. That's one of the reasons why that we say, when we're praying, in the name of Jesus. See, by the way, the name of Jesus is not just used as a lucky tag at the end. You know what I'm saying? The name of Jesus is a name that is above every name. Every knee one day, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. And they will recognize that Jesus is Lord, who brings glory to the Father. That's big time. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm moving quickly for a reason, because there's a reason why we're talking about this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of what? Your love. Verse 3. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with what? Peace. Verse 4. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. What I have to say about those verses simply is this. Keep your eyes on the prize. And I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about Jesus. He's our prize. In him, we live and we move and we have our being. Verse 7. However, he has given each one of us special gifts through the generosity of Christ. How many like to receive gifts? How many doesn't really, you don't want to receive gifts? Is there anybody that doesn't want to receive gifts? I can't imagine. Everybody likes Christmas time. They like birthdays. They like anniversaries. They like to be celebrated. We like gifts. That's just the way it is. Do you suppose that the Father himself, who loves you, wants to give gifts to his kids? When you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're one of his kids. The Bible also said, to them that are led by the Spirit, to them they are the children of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Glory to God. He has given to each one special gifts through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives. And what does it say? And he gave gifts to his people. The Father himself loves you. He just didn't want to, okay, now that you received me, okay, just go sink, swim, do whatever. He doesn't do that. The Father himself loves you so much that he wants to give more of himself. He wants to express himself. We celebrated our 35th anniversary on Monday. I had to express my love and my adoration, if I can say it like that, to my sweetie. I'm very passionate about it. I'm very passionate about loving my kids. I want to express what I am to them. And our Father is no less. He's very passionate about how he loves his kids, and he desires to give them gifts. Why? Because it's part of his building program. He's not just interested in numbers. He's interested in the building up. Not just installing, but in the building up of our faith in him. He's all about us expressing his love. So that's why he gives these gifts. He has given each one of us special gifts through the generosity of Christ. He ascended to the heights and he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 11. It just doesn't tell us that he gave gifts. Now he's about to express something else. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. It's part of his building program, if you will. Apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Do you see there's five of them there? I'm going to say it like this. Sometimes we leave the whole responsibility up to the pastor to build the church, when God actually has given gifts, five ministries, if I can say it like this, five ministry gifts to the church. And, you know, if I would have a hard time in picking up this speaker with my one finger. But when I use five, in this case, I would probably, because of the weight of it, use 10. But you get the picture. It takes all five to pick up. Takes all five to equip. Takes all five. I believe that a lot of churches are anemic and powerless simply because they don't have the flow through of the fivefold ministry gifts. The only one you hear from a lot of times is pastors. Now, there are pastors that do have more than one particular gift. Some are teachers. I've worked with some that are prophets. I find that prophetic type preachers don't make the best pastors, simply because they're really cut and dried. They'll tell you the way it is, and not many like that. There are the evangelists. Everything's about evangelism. Everything you hear, everything you see is all about getting people saved. The whole service is geared around people that need to be saved. The whole service. That's necessary. But it's not the only ministry gifting. Because they're the pastors, the ones that actually care. I'm not saying that the others don't care. I'm just saying that their gifting is different. When I started to see people's gifting, or people according to their giftings, it helped me to be able to work with them. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work, listen to this, and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up. See that? Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then you will no longer be immature like children. You won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, you will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body, listen to this, he makes the whole body fit together. As each part does its own special work, and helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Do you see how it works? The love of God is expressed in us. The love of God is expressed to us. But He desires that we express that love toward one another so that we might work with one another. I would like to have, if I could, I would like to have two men. You believe that not only do you believe in prayer, but you know that God answers your prayer. Do we have two men that'll come and stand over here with me? Thank you. Now I'm going to ask if there are two women you know about prayer, but you believe that God answers your prayer. I need two women that'll come here. Thank you. Shannon, I need you to join me up here too. Glory to God. Right in the center, please. We have three women. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How would you like to work with my wife? Praise God. Now, I'm not going to instruct you how to pray, but we're going to have various folks that feel that they have a need, and they have a need, and they need prayer. You can come to any one of these folks that are here. Now, here's the thing. You folks that are here, don't assume that they want your hands laid on them. Don't assume that. Okay. Just simply ask them, is it okay that we put our hands on you? You have no idea of maybe who you're ministering or how they need ministry. Okay. It may be that, I don't know. Sometimes people, when they're prayed for, sometimes they fall down. Am I looking for that? No. I'm not necessarily looking for a manifestation of something. So if nothing happens, don't sweat it. Because God is working. I always say that when it seems like nothing's happening, something is happening. I have seen God work in quietness where there's nothing. There's no music. I have seen it. And yet I have seen the manifestation of the presence and the power of God in a very powerful way. Glory to God. Now you came because you believe in prayer. And because you believe that God answers your prayer. Now, one can put 1,000 to flight, the word says. Two, 10,000. Glory to God. That's twice the power. Now, why are we doing this? Because number one, I'm concerned about God answering needs that may be presented here. And I am concerned that we melt together, glory to God, and that we express the Father's love. Interesting that Jesus sent his disciples two by two. So interesting. He never necessarily had them. Well, I could have had them stand up as couples, but I just felt, you know, normally what happens is, some doesn't always happen, but sometimes I see the service before the service. I don't understand it. But I know that God wants to work. Glory to God. Are you okay so far? I'm believing for the Holy Ghost to break chains. to bring healing rain, as it were, that God minister to you. Oh, yes, I know. I just came for a service and a good message. But you know what? To me, it's more about the Father expressing. And this is one expression. If you have a need in your body, you have a need in your family, there are circumstances that you need prayer for, I'm simply going to invite you to come. Jesus said it like this, come all that are weary, burdened down and are heavy laden, and he says, I will give you rest. Okay. Glory to God. I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to do any of that, but I do feel that we need to allow you the opportunity for the Father to express his love to you. And it's done through these people that are here. You say, Pastor Ron, this is not normal for us. Don't worry, I'm not normal. I just know what the Father wants to express. Don't ask me why the Lord asked for three. I do not know. Glory to God, I do not know. Come. Some people don't know what to do with silence sometimes, and so we get fidgety and we do all kinds of things. If you don't know what else to do, then close your eyes and just shut yourself in with the Lord Jesus. We can wait. We'll wait. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness that's better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Ito rabandari bashta. Thank you for your name that is above every name. Spirit of truth. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Father is more interested in the integrity of our heart. The woman that came to Jesus at the well was concerned about where she was worshiping. You know, Jesus said, you know, the day will come, you won't be concerned about a particular place or a particular mountain. But they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I am more interested in that, worshiping in Him in spirit and in truth. I am more concerned about doing that which pleases Him than I am pleasing men and women. I really am. You see, because the Lord, He measures the thoughts and intentions of our heart. In fact, He said it like this: to obey is better than sacrifice. When you look at the scripture, God is more interested in, I get it, gathering, because He counted numbers too. 2,000, 3,000, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. So there must have been some kind of counting, you see. But success is not measured. Success is not measured by our gathering. It's measured by our sending. Did you hear me say that? It's measured by our, not by our gathering, but our sending. Is the gathering important? Yes, it is, because that's where we learn and develop together. Okay. Glory to God. So I'm not interested in putting on a show. I am interested in being obedient to what the Lord has for us. And by the way, whether you stand in worship or whether you sit down, nobody is really judging you. My father-in-law went to be with the Lord, how long ago was that now? 5 years ago? He never went to church for about 30 years. And when he was going through the treatments and things of his cancer, during the night, this song came to him. Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. He didn't remember all the words of the song, you know, the whole song, but he did remember that much. God, the Father Himself, loves you. You see. Did he miss the fellowship of other believers? Yes. Did he lose his faith in Jesus? No, matter of fact, it increased, especially when he realized that he could trust in the Lord. You're all a part of the building program of God. See, what we do with your part, if you notice, it says that as he makes the whole body, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. And it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If I can say it like this, may the Lord bless His word to your hearts. And we look forward to hearing about the results of prayer today. In fact, our gathering should be, I really appreciate, Brother Mike, you giving opportunity to give testimony. Because in some places, you don't hear testimony too much. Some churches do it in other ways. They'll put it up on the screen and they'll do all kinds of things that are good. As long as the church hears what God is doing. In the early church, they would come together and they would celebrate what God has done. Father, thank you for your presence with us tonight, this morning. For each and every aspect of the service. Thank you for opening our eyes and opening our ears. And thank you for softening our hearts so we'll be able to respond. And there may have been some that didn't come in to respond. And Lord, we don't judge them or anything else. But we do ask, Lord, that you would meet them at their point of need. That you would guard their heart and their mind in Christ Jesus. That they would experience and begin to know what your height and depth and width of your love is toward them. You are faithful. And the very things that you started, you will complete in Jesus' name. I ask that you would go with them in their rising up, in their sitting down, and their going out, and their coming in Jesus' name. That you would establish them in your, and even in the expression of your love, that they'll be good, not just givers, but receivers, so that they can in turn give your love to someone else. In the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, the Lord bless you as you go. Make sure you shake somebody's hand and say hello and find out how they're doing. And glory to God. We'll see you next week.